Welcome to the podcast. This is designer Dave Say.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's a Monday,
December 2nd. Happy December. Last month of 2013.
Yeah. The month that I need to renew my car registration. The month that I need to renew my driver's license.
Oh, that means you have a...
month that I need to new to put the snow tires on.
That means you have a birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Birthday's at the end of the month.
Is it 31st?
Very 31st.
That's my mom's birthday.
Very end of the month.
That's right. I forgot you and my mom shared a birthday.
This is why I keep thinking that I'm a year older than I really am.
Right.
Because, like, I think 1967, whatever the current year minus 1967 is, that's how old I am. And it ends up, because I'm born the very last day of the year, it's really, you know, I'm actually much...
Well, you know, we're all
I'm
really...
a year younger.
Right. Because we're all really a year older than we really are.
What?
Isn't it? Because, like, you turn one when you after a year, but you've been alive a year already.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. We're in our...
It's a,
I'm 38, but I'm in my 39th year.
Oh, yeah. You're in your 39th year.
Yeah.
But, well, no, no. If, when you're born, let's say you're born 1960 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's in 1960. You're in your zeroth year.
Right. My.
So, but when, it, like, 1961 rolls around, then you're in your first year.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The off by one error. Very
off
common
by one,
in programming.
Yes. Off by one.
Off by one.
It's cold. Out.
Cold.
It's this.
Rainy.
We're December. It's cold and it's rainy and yuck and stuff. I just got back from visiting my alma mater, the New Hampshire Institute of Art.
Oh yeah.
Yes. This is the second year I've been going in for the senior classes, business of arts class, or something like that.
The business of arts.
And the woman that runs the class puts together a panel of alumni.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Usually it's two or three people, and then we just sort of talk about what we've been doing since we've gotten out of college and all the difficulties and the roads we have paved ourselves.
Hmm. Is it for everybody or is it like
it's just a class? I always try to open it up to anybody. Yeah, it's like, and
oh, okay.
she allows people to, if they want to sit in. Like there was a photographer I know on Flickr who's in the area, Sarah Ann Loreth. And she talked to this class a couple of weeks ago, and so I emailed the woman that runs the class, and she was like, yeah, you can come up and sit in if you want. And then she opened it up to the rest of the school. She's like, if anybody wants to come in and just listen to her talk.
Cool. Yeah. Was there a good turnout?
Yeah, I think so. I think all of the class showed up, uh-huh. Which is always important.
Yeah.
But it's good. I just like getting in front of it. I just like talking anyway, so it gives me a chance to talk with people that have like-mind things.
Yep. Did anyone cry?
No, there was no crying. No, there was laughing.
Laughing. Oh, that's good.
You don't want to make them cry when you get them in there.
No.
You want to, you know, be like, who's this funny guy? I like him. I want to come and visit his studio and ask him more questions. And I'm like, well, be my guest. Please come by. I'm close enough that you can come in and visit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
And it's like you're connecting with people. A very important part of our lives we're discovering.
Connecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And other than that, this week has been like, I'm just trying to get the studio tidied up. We're doing the Picker Building Open Holiday Studios open house thing on Saturday, December 7th from noon till 5 p.m. Just a nice five-hour block.
Yep.
A lot of people downstairs, you know, you can go in and buy things as gifts, like rings and earrings and jewelry and stained glass and stuff. So I figured I'll be open. I'll just open the doors. Come up, say hi.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you going to be here both days?
It's only one day here.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And
that leaves the Sunday, the going on concurrently at the same time, the Button Factory Studios up in Portsmouth are having their open holiday artist studios thing. And that's actually both days. It's December 7th and December 8th.
Okay.
And I believe it goes from noon until 5 p.m. both days. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I think Sarah had mentioned she kind of wanted to go up on Sunday, but I haven't really been pushing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go to that, just be prepared to like get there at noon and don't leave. You're probably not going to leave until 5. One, because there's so much stuff to see.
Yeah.
And two, because it is so completely filled with people that go there during their Open Studios event. And we've been in the past and it's just a madhouse. There's so many people. And it's so popular that people that don't have studio spaces in that building actually rent tables in the hallway so that they can set up their wares and sell them.
Where was that again?
That is in Portsmouth, and it's on Islington Street.
Islington Street.
Yeah, and we'll post a link to their website.
That mill studio space where you got your wedding rings done?
Yes.
Is that, do they have that? What's the name of that
place? That's Western Ave Studios. That's in Lowell.
Yep.
And they're open, I think they do the first Saturday of every month. So they're open 12 times a year. You can go.
I had no idea.
Like the first weekend of every month, I think they're open.
Hmm.
Shout out to Heather Wang, who did our wedding rings and our engagement ring.
Woot.
Yes. I like her.
Yeah. So what do I have going on?
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Did I have a good Thanksgiving?
Did you eat lots of turkey?
I made a perfect turkey.
Did you?
Yes. After 20 years of trying, I got a turkey that, without a whole lot of messing around, the breast was moist. It was even a bird, stuffed bird, which can be problematic.
Yeah.
But I controlled the temperature just right. Got the just right amount of of golden skin crispiness, but not overcooked chicken, not overcooked breast.
Yeah.
Maybe the for some reason the dark meat was a little bit dry.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about that. And the stuffing inside was cooked to the appropriate temperature. Thank goodness for the digital temperature probes and stuff like that.
Right, so you can
monitor that stuff.
Right.
But it came out well. And it comes down to variable temperature management.
Yeah.
So like first you roast it at a higher temperature and then you lower the temperature down. So the heat will move more slowly through it and not like overcook stuff on the outside.
Mm.
So that worked out really well. Yeah, and then my sister brought all this other stuff from Whole Foods. And we had pretty gigantic feast.
Did you?
Yeah, way too much food for the.
Do you have a lot of leftovers?
Oh yeah, we ate that. I'm still eating the leftovers.
Are you?
Yeah, made the traditional turkey carcass soup.
Whoa.
Yeah, so after you get all the meat off of it and you store that, then you can boil down the turkey carcass, strain out all the bits, and it makes a good turkey broth, and it's delicious.
That sounds a little scary.
Yeah, it's not pretty to look at, but how do you think they make stock? They make them out of bones.
I don't know. I don't want
skeletons. Think bird about skeletons.
It. That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's awesome. Before, you would just throw the stuff away and it would feel bad about it.
Right.
But now you can just cook it down and I can feel...
Turn it into soup.
Delicious soup.
Soup.
Yep. That was pretty much it.
Huh.
We went to see America's Stonehenge, which is up near Salem, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And have you ever been there?
Never.
It's one of those touristy, it used to be called Mystery Hill.
Yeah.
And apparently it was put together in the 1920s or 1930s. There's the remnants of a lot of stone structures there.
Okay.
And, some of it looks like it was part of a farmhouse that had been built, like maybe in the 1800s.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of Indian artifacts in the area. And some of the foundation of the original farmhouse kind of looks like it could be mystical, from mystical people long ancient. But I don't think it really is. It was something that's been put together to be something to look at.
Yep.
One of the most interesting things is there's this big, big granite slab. It's on top of a hill, and like there's just bits of granite sticking out all over the place. Because there's granite everywhere in New Hampshire, right? You can't right. dig a hole without hitting a piece of granite. And there's this big slab that someone had carved, like this big blood trough around it. So it looked like it was used for butchering animals at some point. But it's pretty creepy looking, huh. like if you look at it. And so they gave names to the various chambers, but it's not really, it's not as Stonehenge-y as one might think.
Huh.
It's a lot we found something really old here, and we're not going to say that it's the same age as this part here, but we're going to kind of lump both descriptions together so you kind of infer that they're the same ancient source. Or they use a lot of descriptions like, could this have been a...
Oh, yeah.
But it's a cool site. It's a good, cool place to go hiking. There's some alpacas that you can look at. They're just in this little kind of farm area. You can't touch them or anything like that.
Yeah.
They look like they'd beat you up, though, if you tried to tried anything with them. They got these big, long, goofy necks, and they have these moppet hairs. moppet fur tufts on their hair.
Nice.
On the top of their heads. And they have, midnight snowshoeing. Dark snowshoeing. Candlelight snowshoeing, I think it is.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
So it's an interesting location. It's fun to visit.
Huh.
It was freaking cold, though.
Yeah.
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 So that
I'm getting into hibernation. I can already feel it. Like I just want a nap. I just feel like a bear.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to push myself to not succumb to that.
Yes.
You start going back to the gym, but I'm so stressed out with all these projects that I have to do.
Yeah.
I don't like the feeling of, I think, all these projects hanging over my head.
Right.
So I need to...
just overwhelming type stress or just stress?
It manifests as a desire to take a lot of naps. And it's... The difficult part is that I have to be self-pacing and self-motivating in starting these things. And there's no like immediate support network. Although I found lately that just talking to people about it has been helpful.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend Angela over on Saturday, and we were just kind of reminiscing about what we were doing last time we were both in the same area.
Yeah.
And then the kind of goals that we're working toward. Angela's a piano performance major, I think.
Yep.
She's working in a grad program up in Maine. But she has to finish her, she has to play a recital, I think, at the end of it. So you had to memorize these pieces and play them really well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. It's like a big epic moment, like in one's life. You know, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of persistence.
Right.
And for the stuff I have to do, I have to practice a similar kind of persistence. You know, but it's very few people understand what it is that I'm doing. And so therefore, it feels like very lonely. And I imagine it's the same kind of thing if you're a piano major or something like that. And like people don't understand you need to be in the room for a certain number of hours. You can't be disturbed for a certain number of hours. Mm-hmm. You know, people will barge in. What are you doing?
Yep.
Why are you being so quiet? Why don't you come out and talk with us? And like with me, and you probably get this too. Like, oh, you freelance. So why don't you come out and hang out with us? Yep. And, you know.
We can't.
No, you kind of do and you kind of don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have the flexibility of being able to go and see a movie in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Especially if you can expense it as related to your line of business. So I can watch like movies, anything with storytelling.
Yeah.
Anything with sequential art in it, you know, is technically part of what I do.
Yep.
So that's an expensable.
Well, I like these post podcast lunches that we've been having on Mondays. Those are always nice, and you get to expense them, which is always good because
it's part of the business.
A business meeting.
You know, the podcast you technically could be called part of our marketing outreach or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, more importantly, it's part of the ability to connect with other people who might get what it is we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think I'm hopeful that. There are people out there who might listen to us one day.
Yep.
Or who are listening to us now that realize that, you know.
Like Kenta Koga?
Like Kenta Koga.
Kenta Koga, Kenta Koga.
That there are projects, that there are things that we do that are outside of the mainstream.
Kenta Koga. Kenta Koga. Kenta
Koga. Okay. Kenta I guess
we should make it a drinking. No, I heard you. Kenta Koga. Last week I posted a thing saying we should make a drinking game that every time somebody says Kenta Koga, you have to take a drink. So I should subliminally, like in the background, just be like Kenta Koga. Like,
you just completely faded out when you backed out.
It's good.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about this last week when we were having our post podcast lunch. I think that the collective that we or you used to have that sort of dissolved. I'm thinking that. The collective might be a good name to finally name this podcast, especially now that we're trying to incorporate more people into it and we're trying to bring on people that we think are creatives or producer, you know, producing interesting content. And I think that maybe that name of the collective could be used for this. And plus it's, you know, that way if we don't have guests on here, it's still inclusive of what we're talking about.
Right. I like the idea of inclusivity.
Yeah.
To be able to have a place where people can discuss what they're working on. Yeah. That's really all it needs to be.
Yeah.
That's all the collective ever was.
Yep.
How would you describe the collective? What was your experience like?
I saw it as I guess the remedial equivalent would sort of be like a book club. Only it would just be a bunch of people. We'd get together and we would just talk about what we've been working on and the challenges that we've been having and trying to get ideas from them. Almost like a critique, you know, like artists have critiques where they just get together and show new work. I think it was just an important thing that we did where we just tried to get like-minded people together and just so that they can connect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like so that you know, you're not the only one out there that's trying to go through all this kind of thing. And here's a room full of people that are doing it.
Yeah. Some people had mentioned that it felt like a support group, which wasn't quite what I wanted.
Right.
The idea of a group that gets together who's, you know, it's not that they get there to commiserate with each other. I mean, I don't think that's what happened. But, you know, there maybe it was a little bit of a tone like that because sometimes you get really depressed when you get stuck in some place.
Right.
But the idea of sharing the work that you're doing, the unique work that you're pursuing, and this ties in with like being a nerd, you know, being geeking out about something particularly special.
Yes.
Finding that kind of camaraderie with other people, someone who may not understand completely what it is that you're doing, but they understand the drive.
Yes.
Like at Barcamp Manchester, I think I told you the story already. I had this mechanical keyboard panel, and I brought in all the mechanical keyboards I had. And these are keyboards that are kind of expensive. They cost like over $100 a piece. I've got like five of them from various points in my life. But because typing, I like the way that a keyboard feels to me is very important.
Yeah.
And it's hard to try them out without buying them, which so I thought I would bring my keyboard so people could try them out.
Yes.
And so, you know, a few people showed up to it. Someone showed up who was just incredulous that someone would even have a panel like this. And this was at Bar Camp, which is a Bar Camp is a technical unconference. It has nothing to do with drinking.
Right.
It's the name Bar Camp is based on a computer science joke, which I'm not going to explain right now. But anyway, the interesting thing about that was like someone walked by, looked in the room, looked at all the keyboards. We looked back, not sure what to expect, and he just gave us a double thumbs up. Yeah! And then he went on. He went in there, he saw a bunch of people geeking out about keyboards, and he approved of it. Maybe it wasn't his thing, but it was like, I dig that you're into this kind of stuff.
Hell yeah.
You know, like the same kind of thing if you meet someone who collects, like, I guess, bobblehead dolls or something like that. Or my sister introduced me to this movie called The Big Year, which has... Okay. It's a movie about bird watchers who are competing with each other to see as many birds as possible in a given year. And apparently this is a real thing. It's Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson. And actually, it's a cute little movie, but it's about a bunch of super bird nerds.
Yes.
Who, like, they go and they spend thousands of dollars traveling around the country. They're watching the weather. They've got a network that tells them about there's been a sighting of a pink-footed booby in North Dakota, or a big storm system's coming out. This will disrupt the migration pattern, so they'll all land in this one place, and you can see hundreds of birds at the same time. And so a big year in the bird-watching community is when someone keeps a log of all the birds that they see within a calendar year within a certain geographic location.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I guess the record in this movie was like 730, and then like there were... trying to beat the last year's record.
Okay.
So, anyway, it reminded me, like, there's, you know, nerds, people with intense interests, people who have these projects. You know, this is kind of an epic thing if you want to have a big year.
Yeah.
Likewise, you know, for anyone who even just wants to build something they've never built before or learn something they've never learned before.
Yep.
And it takes one to know one. You know? So.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, it's, you know... embracing your nerdiness, embracing your geekiness, embracing your extreme passions.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're being ready to work for them.
Yep.
Pursue those things.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of what the collective is for me. And having the outlet of being able to talk to other people, understand the urge, at least.
Yep.
I was having lunch with our friend Jeff Borkowski a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about... reminiscing about being in school, and when you would be around a bunch of disparate people who had different backgrounds, different interests, but every day you would hang out and talk about what you're working on, you know, through idle conversation, and that's a really powerful thing.
Yes,
I think. Yeah, it reminds me of like you being in art school, to some extent being in engineering school, you know, with the right people who wanted to build cool stuff. the stuff that I was interested in. That was an important sounding board, I think.
Yeah.
You know, now I have you. I can like sounding board off like things that I'm talking about. And at least you'll laugh at it. Or like you'll nod sagely and say, oh, yes.
I understand.
Whereas like a lot of times other people, they'll go, oh, and they're just already tuning out as soon as you're talking about like you're seeing 200 different kinds of birds or a new mechanical keyboard that's come out with MX Cherry Clear switches in it, which have never been seen before, but have twice the activation force. You know, they're going, yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're just like, but listen to the click. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. Highly sensitive, discerning people, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get some stuff done. That's kind of what the collective should be for me.
Yeah.
And I guess this podcast is about that. What would we call it? Just the collective podcast? The collectocast?
Dave and Sid's collective.
How would the jingle
collective?
Go?
I don't know. But I guarantee that once we finally get the official name, that we could get Teresa Santosky to do our call thing. Oh, yeah? Like our little introduction. That'd be awesome. Uh-huh. Like every week. Just like, you're listening to Dave and Sid's Collective featuring multimedia Dave Say and da 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 da. That'd be great. It'd be so great.
Mm.
It'd be like our own Ed McMahon.
For some reason, I thought about hamburgers as soon as you said Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon, sure, and hamburgers.
Yeah. He looked like a person who. Hamburger. Is he still alive? He looks like a person who enjoys a good hamburger.
Yeah. Now you got me wanting what is it? What's the name of the hamburger place over by the bowling alley?
The Five Guys?
Five Guys, yeah. Mm. I haven't had a Five Guys since they opened up.
Mm.
Big, fat,
really?
Burger, yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
You know, you can order those online and they'll be ready for you when you get there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Don't order the fries, though, because they'll make them. But if you just want the burger, you call them up and you just drive there and you pick it up and go. Otherwise, you have to wait. Yeah.
That's like naughty type of hamburger. It's like big, giant, fat, crazy hamburgers.
So, all right. So, if anyone's listening and has an idea about whether or not the collective podcast is the name.
Does that sound good? Give us your input. And you should also, to anybody listening, you should, where's my notes here? Rate us on...
We're not rated on iTunes because not enough ratings have come in. And we've never sought them. But it might be kind of interesting to know.
Just to see what, So all three of you, Rob and Elise and Kentakoga, leave us a rating so that it'll make at least look like they have some sort of small validity.
Yeah, have you rated it?
No.
Oh.
I'm afraid I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
Well, I don't know. What if they found out that I was like part of it? It's like that thing with Yelp. Like I did headshots for Elise, and then I'm also somebody that goes to Studio 99, and like we couldn't leave cross reviews because they thought it was. It's like, no, like it's legit.
Yeah, that's because Yelp wants to get that business.
Yeah, they're kind of jerks. They've been bothering me by phone.
What?
About...
Yeah, they have this, like, oh, if you're not with Yelp, then your business
is she's like, oh, they camouflage it so that you think it's something else. Like, the first call I got, she was like, blah, 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 and we know lots of businesses in your area. We want to help you, get these accounts for headshots and da-da-da-da. And it was like this whole big spiel. And at the very end, she was like, call us here at Yelp so that you can find out what you can do to help bolster your Yelp account. And I'm like, no. But they keep calling. They keep calling and they leave messages.
Ugh.
And she's just like, this is like the fifth time I've tried to reach you. And this is going to be the last call that I make to you because you're not giving us any kind of feedback and everything like that. And I was just like, take the hint.
Yeah.
Like, come on, really?
Yeah.
But they like started to get kind of nasty. And really? I'm like, I'm not giving you money now if you're going to turn around and be ugly about it.
Yeah, they're like the new Yellow Pages.
They're kind of a haunt.
Yeah.
They're kind of a haunt.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if people want to be on the podcast, if you're available on a Monday.
Yes. After, although we have an excuse to test out this field kit.
Field kit?
You put that,
oh, that's
that
right.
little
yeah.
mobile thing. So we're also looking, if anybody wants to do a podcast and can't do it necessarily on a Monday morning, we have a little kit that Dave has configured together that I'm dying to see how it works.
Yeah.
And we'd like to try that on the field. We could be like...
basically the same format. We play the music. It starts at the beginning. 30 minutes later, the end plays. We have a portable Bluetooth speaker that we can just put right in front of this microphone recording device. Yeah.
I want to do field stuff. I want to be like Ira Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. Coming up, chapter one.
What's your favorite part of the podcast, Sid?
Interview. I just like gabbing. Sometimes I get a little too worried that like it's not creatively inspired enough.
I'm trying to make a raspberry noise. Lips are too dry.
Because, I mean, it is supposed to be, you know, like the lives of two people trying to make their lives.
This is what it is. One thing I like about this is that we're just talking.
Right.
Largely. Sometimes we prepare some notes so we don't forget something that we think might be topical.
Yes.
Or like coming up soon. You know,
like the open houses.
And yeah. Oh, and Elisa's piano karaoke. That's this Wednesday, I think.
Yes. Now, this is a continuation from Studio 99, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's at the Nashua Community Music School. Yeah, type those notes in.
I'm going to write that down.
And I believe it's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And Elise will, who's been trained by her grandmother how to play improvisational piano, will play the karaoke song that you tell her in the key that is best for your voice. If you don't know what the key is, she will ask you to sing a note, and then she will find it.
Boom.
It's kind of cool.
She just knows.
She just knows. Converges on it.
Yes.
And it's very informal. It's just people who want to get together and sing to live piano music. I don't know if I'll be able to make it this Wednesday.
They're also doing open mics there, too.
Yes.
Like the same family that did the open mics at Studio 99.
Yeah. Pick and Bob Pope is one of them.
Pick and Bob.
I think I was looking at the National Community Music School page, and it looks like the next one's in January. So they're taking a break now.
Yeah. It's very exciting that things that had a little bit of a following at 99 is now starting to re-emerge.
Yep.
At a local place.
Yep.
So that's very cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check them out. I'd like to go to the open mic at least and see, you know. I'd like to see the open mics become what they used to be at 99, like
yeah,
the amount of people that they used to get and stuff.
Hmm.
That would be very cool.
So what do we have going on next? Looks like we're out of time.
Yeah, no, just the open mics. And I had a little self-project here at the studio where I took a section of my wall and I bought some galvanized steel metal sheets, and I've made a big giant wall of sheet metal that works with magnets, so I can display prints and stuff and a little more, what would you call that? Like,
it almost looks like a montage.
Yeah, I just, instead of like sticking them in frames and arranging them all orderly and stuff, I just kind of off kilter, like threw everything up there. I think it looks nice.
It does.
I like them outside of the print. I like them outside the frame too, because there's not as much reflection going on. And it was pretty cost efficient. I thought it was going to cost a lot of money. And then we found these 2x3 feet sheets of metal in the plumbing section at Home Depot. At Lowe's.
Hmm.
And I think I bought, I mean, I basically have 4 feet by 12 feet. So that's, I don't know, do the math as far as square footage. And it came into like $55.
Yep.
And that's not bad.
Yeah.
And then the cost of the magnets and stuff.
It kind of reminds me of elementary school display of like everyone's pictures or something.
Yeah.
It's just missing the lettering that says
welcome to school.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Exactly. It has like the alphabet above it with the letters with like the worms coming out of certain letters and stuff.
You could put pictures of cameras up there.
Yeah.
Or silhouettes or something. That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, I have some shelves I want to put up, I think, here. And I have a bunch of cameras that don't work that I could use.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, so we're going to wrap it up for this week on December 2nd, 2013. Until next week, this is Photographer Sid Caesar.
This is Designer Dave Say.
And have a good week.
Yeah.
Come visit us at the Open Studios this Saturday from 12 to 5 at the Picker Building, pickerbuilding.com. Come up to the studio and say hi. We'll be hanging out. I'll probably convince Dave to come here, too.
Bah, humbug.
Music provided by Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble. You can visit him at michaelbellar.com.
Yeah!
Thank you, Michael. We'll see y'all later. Have a good week.
Bye.
Stay warm.